Let your light shine in. Let your light shine in. Let your light shine in. Let your light shine in.
Thank you for listening to one of the audio messages from Cornerstone Church Airdrie. My name is Brad, and I have the privilege of serving as the lead campus pastor and primary preaching voice at Cornerstone Church Airdrie. So if it's me you're hearing speak today, or if it's someone else, our desire is still the same. We pray that you are so encouraged, that you are built up, challenged, and inspired. Through these messages, our hope for you is that you would grow in knowing God, knowing His hope, knowing His purpose, and knowing His power. We believe that the God who spoke all through Scripture is still speaking to us today, and we pray that as you listen to this message, the heart of God would be speaking to you. Enjoy the message. Tearing it down with all of these years. I'm there for very few to care about. Protect the ones I hold dear. And there ain't nothing you can say to me. Make the truth be more clear. Let your light shine in.
When you look in the mirror, what do you see? You see a reflection of your current self. You know, the clothes that you have on, the hairstyle that you got. Basically, you know essentially what you expect to see in the mirror when you look in the mirror, right? We've all looked in the mirror many times over and over, and generally not much surprises us, right? But sometimes things do, right? Is that maybe there's something on our face that we didn't know was there. That often happens when I have a almost 3-year-old, and so things get on my face that I had no idea how they got there, and that is entirely because of him. Or there's something stuck in your teeth, or something weird like that. Or maybe you put some effort in, you did your hair all nice, and you go back and look in the mirror, and it looks nothing like it did when you left it. You see, depending on your outlook, I'm either cursed or blessed with curly hair. Not that you can tell, because I have decent hair product, and so it stays generally where I want it to go. But sometimes, I don't know what it is, but I put the same amount of hair stuff in, you know, did it the same way, and I go back and look, and it looks nothing like it did when I walked away from that mirror. Just as a side note, my son Levi this morning was crying because he didn't think he had curly hair. So to him, it would be a blessing. To me, not so much. Or maybe you've been working hard outside and it's been hot, like we're blessed with, and you get a little sweaty and you go and look in the mirror and your hair is, you know, pointed in all sorts of different directions. Again, either a curse or a blessing, depending on how you view it, that curly hair. Or perhaps you have chosen to change something about your appearance, and you kind of just went about your day, and you forgot about it, kind of. Often, this will be a haircut for me, is like you go and touch it, and you're like, oh yeah, I cut my hair. Okay, cool. Or you do something weird with your facial hair, like a couple of months ago, we did a murder mystery night for youth, and it was Western themed, and I was the host bartender sort of guy, and so I decided it would be appropriate to, you know, shave into like the old timey weird facial hair, and so needless to say, I didn't keep it, and so the next day when I looked in the mirror, it was like, oh, weird, my face, it's clean shaven. It didn't last long. I didn't really like the look, so I just, you know, brought the beard back. But when we think about how we've seen ourselves, there's this other thing that can happen. Like Craig shared this morning, sometimes we can see things that aren't physical in the mirror. You can see perhaps failure or sin or stress. Some of those things do show up. Stress often shows up on people in the mirror, but But there can be often this mix of truth and lie that can come up. And so in that, it can become difficult to see the truth. This morning, what I believe God has placed on my heart to talk about is not something particularly new or profound. I'm not going to claim that I've got this crazy thing. But I think it's important to be reminded of truth so that we can see the lies for what they are. So we can get this image in our head about who we need to be or what we need to have in order to have worth. We can feel a pressure to define ourselves through our jobs, through our financial security, our successes, our possessions, even through what other people say about us. But what happens when those things are taken away? When we lose our job? When we become burnt out and can't do anything anymore? Or perhaps when we lose favor with that someone we've put our worth in? Our very foundation of identity can be shaken and we can be sent reeling. We can't have a stable sense of identity when we base it upon earthly things. It kind of reminds me of a story that Jesus shared in Matthew 6. It says that everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who builds his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell and the floods came, the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. So we receive an overwhelming number of messages from social media, from societal expectations, from our desire to have what other people have, telling us to build our self-image on external earthly things. That would be building on the sand. But when we build our self-image in who God says we are, we're building on the rock. Listening to the words that he is speaking to us. So how do we make sure that we are building our self-image on the truth as opposed to the lies? If you were here last week, I shared about kind of beginning to break down your thoughts that come into your mind and allowing God to work in the process that he designed to change your mind and change your thoughts into the things that he's called us to think about. If you want a reference for that, Philippians 4 would be a good place to look. But I believe that, I touched on it a little bit, but a large tool in reformatting who we see ourselves as is Scripture. We use Scripture to build those definitions of who we are. The Bible is filled with things that God says about who you are. So how do we combat what everything else is telling you? By filling yourself with the Word. By being in the Word. When we build our identity on the things that Scripture says we are, those things will never change. We are building our identity on the rock. The reason for that is what Scripture tells us about who we are has nothing to do with what we've done or what we will ever do. That's why it will never change. The Apostle Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 2, one ahead of where we're going to be at, but he tells us, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and it is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So we have been saved by grace through faith. We can't earn it, and we don't have to. We can't deserve it, and we don't have to. But a part of being saved is now having our identity based on Jesus, on his worth and not our own. Scripture tells us that you are a new creation, that the old has gone and the new has come. There's so many places in Scripture that you can find that talk about who we are, and I would encourage you to search those out and to think about those things as God has put them in there for us to find. And I'll be sharing some more as we go, but I would encourage you after we're done here, search out what Scripture says about who you are. So this morning, as I said, we're gonna take a look at Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to start in verse 3, and I think this section of Scripture has some pretty important things to say about who we are in Christ. So verse 3 starts. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption as sons and daughters through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has blessed us in the beloved." So we're just going to pause there and let that sink in for a moment before we continue. I don't know if you caught what he said there, but you are not a mistake. God knew what he was doing when he created you. That passage tells us that he chose us to be in Christ before the very foundation of the world. I mean, that blows me away. It's difficult for me to even fathom that kind of foresight. That you are chosen. That you are chosen to be holy and blameless before God. Remember that if he had the foresight to choose you in Christ before the foundation of the world, guess what? He also knew all the things you've done, all the things that you think would disqualify you from being holy and blameless. He knows. And still he chose you. Still he chose to send Jesus for us. In the next verse, we kind of get a bit of a why. But I don't want to pass by this. But I also don't want to do too much. God has chosen you to be his, faults and all. Just don't forget it. He's chosen you. So verse 7 continues. It says, In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. So we have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus. This is why we are made blameless before God. There's nothing that we can do. It's all in him. And by the grace of God, Jesus gave up his life so that we can be forgiven. That we can be blameless, that we can be washed white as snow. This for us as Christians is a huge part of our identity. And one that I think helps, if when we keep that on the forefront of our minds, helps to banish the lies that say we aren't worthy, that we aren't enough, that we've done too much, or that we've done too little. If you and I were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world, nothing could be done that would change that, because Christ was also destined to give up his life and make us blameless. It's been God's will through all of this that we are united with Christ, that we are his bride, we are the church. God has effected through our redemption, or he has effected our redemption through Christ's work on the cross. That is central to what we believe and to who we are in him. We are so precious to him that he didn't shy away from giving up his own life. Philippians 2 will say this. It says, being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That's our groom as the church. That is who we place our hope and our trust in. And that is who gives us our identity. We are united with Christ, to whom every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord. We are a part of that because we are in Christ. So going back to Ephesians in verse 11, it will tell us that in him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. So that we who were the first hope in Christ may be to the praise of his glory. So I love the parallel that Paul draws between God, the God of Israel, and the other gods that the Ephesians would have been so familiar with. If you look at Paul's journey through Ephesus in Acts, you can see a little bit more about how he reaches out to the people of Ephesus through their altars to unknown gods. And Paul is pointing out here that redemption through Christ was not something spur of the moment, and it was planned, and it was ordered to happen. This is in sharp contrast to the gods that they would have believed in, the gods of Greek and Roman mythology. A little while ago, I read the book, The Iliad, by Homer, and I was struck and truthfully super annoyed by one thing. The gods in his story were incredibly fickle. That they would go back and forth between who they were trying to, whose side they were on, whose they were trying to get to win the battle. They were just changing their minds all the time. It was weird to, as a Christian, to read this book, that we know that God doesn't change. And so to see these gods just going back and forth, it's like, I would never want to believe in that. But Paul draws this contrast that the Ephesians would have seen because they knew of these other gods. So Paul is reminding them that God is not fickle, but in fact that every single event is in some way ordained by God, because he is out of time and he sees everything that happens. But at the same time, the following chapters of Ephesians, Paul also emphasizes that we have a huge part to play in this. That our obedience is of utmost importance to fulfilling what God has chosen and what he has ordained to happen. It goes back to verse 10 when it tells us of his plans to unite all things in Christ. We have a part to play, and that belongs to our identity. But then in verse 13, he continues. It says, in him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation and believed in him were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it, to the praise of his glory. Because we have chosen to believe in him, we have been given the Holy Spirit, who is our seal. And sometimes in our lives, there can be this wedge of lies, of false belief that can come in. And it can come between us and how we see ourselves and how God sees us. And there can be this gap. Or perhaps you've had an experience in your life that has caused you to feel impure or unworthy, and it causes you to lose sight of who you are. But the Holy Spirit is there to help remind us of who we are, to remind us of the truths of Scripture that have been shared with us. He reminds us of who we are to be and who we are in Christ, and helps guide us out of the lies that the world gives us. He reminds us of what it says here in Ephesians and elsewhere in Scripture, that where we were rejected, we are instead accepted. Where we were in bondage, we are instead free. Where we were bound by the law, we are instead covered by grace. And where we were orphaned, we are instead adopted. And where we were called sinned, we are instead called forgiven. Where we were called lost, we are instead found. Where we were enemies, we are instead friends. We may not always feel like we are forgiven, like we are blameless, but the truth is that God sees us that way. And this is where we are to walk out in faith. 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 to 5 tells us that though we walk, oh, I missed that one. Holy Spirit helps remind us of who we are, just as a reminder. So, 2 Corinthians, it tells us that though we walk according to the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. For we destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ. So God has given us everything we need, including himself, to demolish the lies and the false beliefs that can take hold and tell us that we are something different than what we really are. Through the truth of Scripture and the guidance of the Holy Spirit, we can understand who we are in Christ, and not the world's eyes, because that's not important. So this morning, I want to take some time to read some scriptures. I'm going to invite the worship team to come back up and play while I read. But I just want to read some scripture to remind us of the truth of who we are in God's eyes. So I want to encourage you, do what you need to do to hear this. If you need to close your eyes, if you need to open, keep them open and read. I'll have the scriptures on the screen, but if you need to keep your eyes open and read the truth, to dwell on that. But I encourage you, as I kind of talked about last week, about how a cow ruminates on its food so that it gets all of the nutrients. I would encourage you to do that with the scripture, to dwell on it, to think about it over and over, and gain the truth that God is sharing with us through that. So I'm going to read the scriptures and then we'll be finished out. So therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and behold, the new has come. for our sake. He made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. He himself bore our sins in his body on that tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. It is by his wounds you have been healed. For you know that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that through though he was rich, yet for your sake became poor, so that you by his poverty might become rich. But now you've been set free from sin and have become slaves of God. The fruit you get leads to sanctification, and its end, eternal life. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellence of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows that very well. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God.
Thanks again for listening to the message. I pray that your heart was blessed by what God had to say today. If you'd like to connect further with Cornerstone Church Airdrie, there's a couple things that you can do. You can find us on the internet at cornerstonefoursquarechurch.com and select Airdrie from the homepage. If you'd like to connect to a pastor at the church, you can do that through our website. Once you're on the Airdrie page, just click on the New Here tab in the main menu and our campus pastor from the drop-down menu. You can connect with us on social media. We're on Facebook and Instagram at Cornerstone Airdrie, or you can follow us on Twitter at CS Airdrie. You can also subscribe to our podcast on iTunes and get new content delivered directly to you. And don't forget to rate and review the podcast on iTunes, as that helps people find us easier. We're so grateful to be able to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with our community in Airdrie and with you today. At Cornerstone Airdrie, we're a family not by blood, but a family that's been bought by blood. And you are a part of that family. As family, we go. I stand in awe of you. I stand in awe of you. Christ, the way, the life, the truth. I stand in awe of you. What king would lead?